It's back. It's better than ever before. Maybe. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this here long-standing electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. This week, my friends, we're talking about embedded in-chip monitoring and life cycle chip design challenges with Stephen Crosher and Oliver King from MoreTech. But before we get into all of that, let's start things off with a little news you may have missed. A new data storage attack plan edition. Data. Can't live with it. Can't live without it. It goes without saying that our data storage technologies have fallen short of our data collection abilities in the last decade. In the last couple years in particular, researchers throughout the world have desperately tried to come up with alternative technologies to store data, from holographic film to single hydrogen atoms, that one was promising, to Microsoft's Project Silica, which etched the entire 1978 movie Superman onto a slide of silica glass the size of a drink coaster. Cool, right? But recently, a team of researchers from Stanford, UC Berkeley, and Texas A&M have released some very promising research that may just make the data storage breakthrough we've all been waiting for. Enter tungsten dietelluride. Sounds like a perfect cowboy name, right? Tungsten rides again. So, what this team found was, when tiny slices of this tungsten dietelluride, we're talking tiny, tiny, 3 atoms thick tiny. So, when these slices were given a small amount of electricity, the second layer of that tungsten actually shifted just a tad. And it stays that way until another jolt of electricity is given to the slices. And then it aligns its way back to where it was originally. Okay, so using this idea of slipping sheets of tungsten, this team found that data can be encoded into these sheets based whether a layer is offset or not. And reading that data back? Well, that can be done by employing a magnetic field that can be used to move the electrons around in those layers, all the while determining the electrons' positions without actually moving them. So, how do these sliding tungsten sheets compare with existing data storage technologies? Well, this team contends that not only can they shove in a whole lot more data into a physical space than ever before, but since this sliding happens so quickly, data can be written up to 100 times faster than any other existing technology. And as icing on the data storage cake, those zaps of electricity needed to move around the layers of tungsten are so small that this solution is actually quite energy efficient as well. Aaron Lindenberg, lead author of this study, puts it like this. He says, "The scientific bottom line here is that a very slight adjustment to these ultra-thin layers have a large influence on its functional properties. We can use that knowledge to engineer new and energy-efficient devices toward a sustainable and smart future." Wow. So, if you want even more information about this breakthrough in storage technology, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, including a white paper called "Bury Curvature Memory Through Electrically Driven Stacking Transitions." All right, it's time to bring in Stephen Crosher and Oliver King from MoreTech. Stephen, Oliver, and I are talking about the role of in-chip monitoring in today's EE ecosystem, the value of real-time thermal analysis, and how data-driven applications like artificial intelligence, machine learning, and 5G can benefit from the use of embedded in-chip monitoring fabrics. All right. Let's go. Welcome, Stephen. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. Yes, thank you very much for having us here today.
And thank you, Ollie, for joining me as well.
Likewise. Yes, good to be here.
Okay, so for my audience who may not know, Stephen, what is MoreTech all about?
Well, MoreTech, in its essence, is an IP vendor. Since 2010, so quite a few years now, we've been delivering in-chip sensing technologies, mainly to the advanced CMOS nodes. It's an expanding market as we see things. And one of the things about what we're doing and the areas that we're working in is that we could see quite early on, we saw some challenges to do with the advanced nodes when you're descending into FinFET, you know, 16, 12, 7, and 6, and 5 nanometer, and so on, that there are issues with, or design challenges, I should say, around things like process variation and supply noise and thermal challenges. So we're addressing those issues today with our technology, and we've now got about 100 customers globally. We're in about 200 or 300 products as well. We're leading this market, which is evolving very quickly. And so, yeah, things are very exciting for us at the moment.
Now, speaking of evolution, it seems like in-chip monitoring is more important than ever before, especially with the increasing demand for data-driven applications like artificial intelligence, machine learning, 5G. What do you guys feel are the biggest benefits in using embedded in-chip monitoring fabrics?
Yes, so there are two main areas there. Number one is optimization, so actually optimizing the performance of the chip in terms of power management, and increasing or optimizing data throughput and speed of the device. And then number two is reliability. And so there are a few application areas where reliability is super critical, and we are able to gain insights within the chip to extend the chip's lifetime and also make assessments for predictive maintenance and predictive failure of devices. So those are the two main areas. But with regard to actual applications, yeah, perhaps I could just hand over to Ollie.
Something we've seen in the recent years is this sort of tending towards massive die, something driven really by HPC and the AI kind of markets over the last few years. And this is leading to, as Steve alluded to, really substantial variations across those die on all fronts, process, voltage, and temperature. That's really where we've started to sort of see the real need there for these kind of monitoring solutions. And, you know, it's worth saying that a small amount of power in a chip, when you've got a data center with thousands of chips in, really stacks up very quickly to large amounts of money. I think, as Steve said, the ability to optimize those die, even by small amounts, really makes a massive amount of sense right now.
Now, you guys just released a new in-chip technology for real-time thermal analysis. So what sets this new technology away from other in-chip sensor solutions?
Really, what drove us to develop the distributed thermal sensor was that market that I just touched on there was telling us about need for, I suppose, three things: precision, placement, and real-time. Precision insofar as they wanted smaller scale, higher granularity, thermal mapping and profiling. Yeah, that means a lot more localized sensing and across the whole die. You know, we already talked about reticle sized die and sometimes even bigger than that. So, and then on top of that, they want them to be well placed. They want, you know, the integration, not just kind of around the periphery, but deeply embedded within cores and within clusters of cores of compute. So that was kind of the second thing. And then on the responsiveness side, particularly with the drive towards FinFET, is the need for lower latency, higher sampling rates. You know, and that really means, we say real time, and we're talking about, you know, much faster sampling now for thermal and voltage sampling. Because, you know, workloads are unpredictable, they're bursty, and if you really want to optimize those big cores, you need to be able to react to those quickly.
Absolutely. Now, I read earlier that MoreTech offers chip lifecycle monitoring from design start to mission mode. So tell me more about that. What exactly do you mean?
What we mean by that is really exploiting this great opportunity that lies in front of us. I mean, we're already designed in at every stage of the chip's life cycle. So from the design through to fabrication of the device, its test, packaging, and then into its mission mode and actual lifetime and real use. Just after that, you're then looking at end of life as well as a part of that sort of flow as to its life cycle. So the opportunity there is you have this ability to gather data from within the chip, and in many circumstances, not just from one device for its own sort of local operation and local sort of performance enhancement, but across an entire product range. So then you can make assessments across your product range, looking at the data that's coming from the devices. And you can, yeah, you could see maybe an opportunity to adjust supply levels as one example by, you know, a few hundreds or tens of millivolts, which gives you much better performance across that product. Obviously, it's meaningful for things like data centers, as Ollie's alluded to, but also handheld devices that are battery operated, and you could be extending the life of the product on a single battery charge. And then you've got things like analytics. So this opportunity to gather data from the devices and look at signatures, trends, and patterns that are emerging over the lifetime of the device. For example, thermal profiling over many years within silicon, and you can then make assessments as to how the device is being thermally stressed or how you may predict electromigration effects impacting the chip. So then that leads on to, you know, these insights that you can take and being able to manage the lifetime of that device and predict it that much better.
Okay, now speaking of analytics and optimization, I heard you guys have some big plans in this realm. Is that something you can share, or what exactly are these big plans?
Yeah, this is the thing that really excites us, because there is that opportunity to gather meaningful and insightful data within the design and within the device itself and deep within the in the chip and its makeup. And so you can be gathering data from various sources. One part of the opportunity is if you have this information pouring out of the device and it's monitoring real time, or it's looking at how the device has actually been made itself, is then an opportunity to contextualize that data and try to make some assessments of that data that's coming out. If it's contextualized, you can then present it better to the analytics engines that are being used out there, and we're starting to see that are emerging in the marketplace. So really, it's kind of this concept of telemetry of data from devices throughout their lifetime. That is what we're really excited about. There are announcements that we'll be making soon on our product roadmap and the delivery of the products we have coming over the next few months and years.
Excellent. Okay, now it's time for your off-the-cuff question, Stephen. Now, since you, I don't think you've answered this question yet. So if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if the restaurant is closed, if it's in a different part of the world, what would it be?
That's a really easy question to answer.
Okay.
It would be from a particular burrito bar. It would be the El Presidente burrito. And I hazard a guess that Oliver will agree with me on that.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely.
What makes this burrito so fantastic?
Oh, it's an absolute combination of its size. It's being made authentically, but there is an additional garnish of garlic prawns on top of the burrito. And it's a particular place that we like within the Bay Area that we visit every time we are there. So it's our highlight to our trips.
You can add jet lag into that as well. I think that helps.
And note to self, go get a presidential burrito next time I'm in the Bay Area. Oh my goodness, that sounds wonderful. All right. Well, you guys, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Stephen and Ollie.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having us.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I get it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by, yep, that'd be me. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or, heck, you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 31st, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.